What's up, everybody? Welcome to Authentically. This is episode 3. I'm your host, Charlie. And as you can see to my left, your right is my wonderful, wonderful Papa Lapa, my dad, aka best dad of all time. The walkout music is playing. You're stepping up to the plate. And now you're stepping up to this plate on your home turf, hailing from Manila, Philippines, en route to Detroit, Detroit, Michigan, representing the one and only state of Michigan, the one and only islands of the Philippines, Eastern Michigan University graduate, graphic designer, artistic to the core, artistic inside and out, just such a great dad, a loving dad, a selfless dad, a great example for me growing up. Even though my parents were divorced, he has always been there by my side, with my mom cheering me on and supporting me and being first row at all of my events. So thank you for being first row at this event. The one, the only, Gilbert Cocatis Lapastora.
Hi. Hello. I'm just so honored to be here, and what a privilege it is to be a guest. And that was an incredible introduction, and I'm just floored and honored to be here to be a guest of a wonderful host. First of all, congratulations on this podcast.
Thank you.
I think you're gonna reach people and impact them for Christ and expand his kingdom through this platform. So I'm excited and honored to be here, and I can't wait to impart some little wisdom that I know over the years to help some of the dads out there, or just some men and sons. Go for it, man.
Thank you, Dad. Yeah, and so we were recording this episode 2 days before Father's Day on your front porch here in Michigan.
Yep.
And so we're celebrating you, celebrating fatherhood, celebrating manhood for this episode. And I started this whole podcast because I realized that there's such a need to talk about real issues, real topics, and a facade of what you're scrolling through. Mm-hmm. And like, let's just be honest and be authentic.
Right.
And talk through what's going on in a way, and doing it the right way.
Right.
And so I like to get deep, and I know you like to get deep too. And I just wanted to start this off by, again, publicly acknowledging you as a wonderful dad, best dad ever, as I mentioned. And not only are you my father, you're also my friend.
Mm.
And this guy has been with me through the ups and downs of life. We could get into the whole thing, but I'll just share one example of, you know, when I had my first like real journalism job out of college, I was lonely in Northern Michigan, and I would drive home every weekend to spend time with the family because I realized how important family is when I went through some real hurts and some heartaches and realizing there's a lot of betrayal and relationships and friendships, and I had God in my family. You know, that's all I knew that I had. And so I leaned on to that and leaned on to God, and God was just telling me, son, I just want all of you instead of relying on all these people for validation. And so during that season, you came up to visit me a lot and hang out with me in mm-hmm. Northern Michigan, and we had campfires together mm-hmm. and bonded and just hung out. And I love that. And I love that, like I mentioned, it carried on from mm-hmm. being a kid and you walking me through life and teaching me along with mom about what it means to be a follower of Christ
mm-hmm.
and just being there for me. So I appreciate that. I wanted to publicly acknowledge that. And I really appreciate and love you, Dad.
I love you too. I love you too. And yeah, those are some of the most memorable times in my life because you were going through a season that was very challenging and new, and I wanted to be there for you. So I'm glad I had the resources and the time to spend with you there. So I'll always value that season in your life. And, you know, you look back at that and it helped propel you to the next level. You leveled up.
This guy leveled up.
Yes. Like a Pokemon character.
Pokemon character. Yes. So, you know, we have seasons in our lives where we can either choose to get through it or grow through it. This guy always chose to grow through it. So kudos to him, and it speaks about his character and his relationship with Jesus and how he wants to fully and completely follow Christ as a man of God. So kudos to you, son.
Kudos to you. And, you know, I think one of the examples was when you drove from here, like around here, Metro Detroit, to Houghton Lake, and then drove me to Chicago because I think I had like something for work there. And then you drove all the way back. This was in the 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. And then when I eventually moved to LA, which I thought was going to be, you know, my now wife and I's home city, you know, you drove me from Michigan down to California. And, you know, what do you think drives you? Speaking of driving, like your, what drives you as you get up in the morning and you wake up and start your day? And especially during those times when we were growing up, what drove you a lot to drive us all the, all over the place? And now what, even carrying on to today, what drives you?
Great question, Charlie. And so first and foremost, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. He is author and perfecter of my life. And while I strive to be a Christ follower, I don't do it perfectly, and I depend on him moment by moment to give me the, to keep me aligned, and the Holy Spirit helps me do that. And so your question about what drives me. So Christ's love is just, I like to see that drive as a manifestation of his love. So my motive is to always to try to please him, and whatever that looks like, in this case, you know, driving and spending time with you and just making sure that some of your emotional needs are met. So I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, which means I'm a helper. So
me too.
Yeah, 2.
Let's go.
Deuce. And so my propensity is to help. And even if you're not asking for it, I'm sensitive to the fact that I can smell it out. So, you know, when you guys were growing up, I would pray about situations and circumstances that you might be challenged with. And, you know, that's kind of like my mojo as to, like, before I act and think about something, I would go to prayer about it. And that would help me, give me focus as to how to approach the situation, you know. Because selfishly, I want to do my own thing. And I've done that. And when I do that, things go sideways. And I'm like, okay, I messed up, God, so help me fix it. And so over time, I've just learned to step back and surrender and just fully commit the situation or circumstance to him. So as far, that's what motivates me, and that's what drives me to serve. And it gives me the energy and the desire to want to help, especially my children. You know, I want to be a part of their lives where I can impart something that would draw them back to Christ. And if I'm doing that, at the end of the day, I'm, it is well with my soul, as the song says. So, plus I love you guys, and you know, fatherhood is rewarding, but it's also the most challenging, I'm going to say, vocation in a man's life, because it is a job in a great way, because it's my responsibility to make sure that you're responsible citizens of society, but above all, that you follow in Christ's footsteps and to impart some of the knowledge and wisdom through my experiences and through my studying the Bible, and to equip you with enough knowledge and to help navigate some of life's challenges. And I can only do that with being equipped with the Word of God.
That's amazing. I thank God for you.
Thank God for you.
Seriously.
Thank you.
Thank you for laying the foundation for our family and, you know, for coming over here. I know Lola and Lola, obviously, were the pivotal role in that. And then you going through what you had to go through and growing up in inner city of Detroit, mm-hmm. moving to Warren. I know you even got, you know, picked on as a kid, too. You mentioned navigating your challenges, and we're on this topic of driving, and, mm-hmm. and so you got to navigate, right, to get to where you got to go. Mm-hmm. What have some of been the biggest challenges in your life, maybe either growing up, you know, in Detroit, mm-hmm. or coming here from a completely different country, or, you know, maybe from the divorce? Mm-hmm. I know we've had real conversations. That's what one of the things I really appreciate about my father is that I mentioned he's my friend, and so I've been able to talk to him about everything, anything and everything. We just shoot the breeze. Like, he's my pal. He is my pal. So, and we had some real hard talks of, like, why did the divorce happen, you know? And, you know, like, and there was a lot of forgiveness and reconciliation that I've had to work through in my life, and the triggers that I've had to work through, emotional trauma. And the fact that I could talk to you and Mom openly about that, you raised us in a way to, mm-hmm. to have and facilitate that. And that's meant so much to us and my siblings. And so thank God for you. And so, in your life, what are some of the challenges you've had to navigate? It can be from the from anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of things cross my mind, but you know, like you said, I was born in the Philippines. We came here in 1972. My dad worked at Chrysler and got transferred here, and the week before we left, or the week after we left, martial law was enacted. So timing was just right for us to move on because of the political climate that our country was in. It wasn't ideal for a family like ours to go through or experience. But yeah, we've had challenges, you know. We grew up in a neighborhood that was predominantly black, and you know, there were like multiple ethnicities. We had Greeks, we had Italians, we had a lot of Polish. So we were exposed to like different communities and ethnicities, but we got picked on because we were different. You know, we were called derogatory names because of our ethnicity.
Like, what were you called?
You know, like chink or Jap, and, you know, squinty eyes. And it was painful. At the time, we didn't know what they meant. But, you know, once we learned what those words meant, you know, they were hurtful. And clearly, we were branded as being different. So as kids, we, you know, our parents were a good support system, but I don't think they had the capacity to help with some of the psychological tools. You know, they didn't have the tools to help us cope with some of the hurts and the pain. So, you know, we talked to friends or whatever, and they weren't always the most reliable source or healthy source. So we just leaned on each other, and, you know, we were a unit. And and then over time, so our parents always took us to church. We grew up Catholic, Roman Catholic. And we go to Mass, and we understood the whole concept of a God. But I struggle with God the Father because, you know, my relationship with my father wasn't healthy. Mm. You know, I love him, but, you know, he was very angry and demeaning and critical and judgmental. So I grew up with a thick skin and very guarded, and I stuffed my emotions a lot because, you know, I was afraid to speak up. I was afraid of being judged or criticized or being called stupid or worthless, or I didn't feel like I had the value of that I deserve as his son and as a member of society. So that was kind of like painful. And then you mentioned divorce. I mean, I was at a point where, you know, the career was taking off, and emotionally I started to drift away, and mom didn't become a priority, and I was very selfish, and a lot of my choices and motives weren't the purest. So, you know, that kind of led to it, because she wasn't, her needs weren't met. There was a husband hole that was, that quickly became bigger. Yeah, those are just some of the struggles, and, you know, life continues to present challenges, you know, more recently with job loss and losing mom about 3 weeks ago, and then your grandpa, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Love you, Lord. I love you, Grandpa.
Yes. God bless you. Have fun in heaven. But for me, it draws me back to the cross and, you know, having a spouse who is supportive and encouraging and edifying helps me navigate through this new challenge, this new season. Mm-hmm. And I know God always has, like my song, my entrance song, he's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. So I cling on that, I lean on that, and sometimes that's all I have at the end of the day, is to cling on his promises that he's faithful, that he's true, that he's kind, he's good. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing all that. So one of the reasons why I love you is keep it real, too. And thank you for always providing that space for me to keep it real.
Can I add to that?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So one of the things that I appreciate about our relationship with you and your siblings is our transparency. Yes. And authenticity. And that we're not afraid to talk about our feelings.
Authentically.
This morning, if you were here, if you were like that fly on the proverbial wall.
If they were right here.
Man, that would have been like a great reality show.
Right there. It happened right there.
So
you guys get to see it happen in that driveway. It was.
Long story short, you know, feelings were expressed. Words were exchanged, but at the end of the day, it was redemption and forgiveness and feeling of being heard and being known. I mean, we all want to be heard and be known. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we yearn for that. So I think being transparent and having that understanding and feeling of safety and respect, mutual respect, is really a priceless thing that any father or human being would cherish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just want to add that. Thank you.
That was huge. And to add on that as well, like, that was a rough start to the day.
It was.
I mean, because there was hurt feelings all the way around in that circle. Mm-hmm. Everyone was experiencing some type of pain, and to come together and to talk through it, I mention a lot that summer in Europe for me with Fellowship of Christian mm-hmm. Athletes, because that was pivotal in my walk with the Lord, with Christ. And I remember learning there that in order to perform, you have to norm first, get to know each other, which obviously we do. We're family. We know each other inside and out. And then to storm. Mm-hmm. And in any marriage, any relationship in life, you know, that storming period is essential. And today we had one of those storms, but now we can be excited to the perform stage and just to accomplish whatever God wants to accomplish through our family.
Right.
And so, yeah, that was that was really tough because we worked through some very hard conversations. You know, my lovely wife, you know, been married to her for over 2.5 years. Your wife for a few months, been married to her. And then Laura's
boyfriend,
that was your first time meeting him. And so everybody was just
experienced the Lapastores.
I mean, this is how it is,
in
you know,
the raw,
raw, right? But that, but then, like, I honestly didn't know if we were gonna like. It was really bad.
I didn't even know if like, they would have continued.
Cause like today was Belle Isle. Today was Belle Isle is a beautiful island right in Detroit. We were all gonna go to Belle Isle. It was gonna be a fun day. And so I think normally if you would put a mask on, you would put a facade on and be like, everything's just great. We're going to have a dandy day.
Right.
But no, like, we just went all out. It was like an emotional fist war.
It was.
But in out of love, though. That's the key.
It was loving, yes.
And, yeah, I was going to say, too, that I think the key for us was that we all have a relationship with Christ and we all are believers. And to have all that conversation, we all have that at the end of the day. And we can look to him and how to give each other grace and love, because that's the only way any relationship would work. If we didn't have Christ in our lives, imagine what today would have been like. I don't think we would have been at Belle Isle. I think we would have stormed off in a car. I think there would have been, it would have been, we won't talk to each other. Like, I mean, there's so many different ways that could have gone. But how great is our God that he kept us on the right track, on the right road as we were driving through those conversations to like grow together.
Exactly. That's right.
You know,
and even like in the midst of all that rawness and almost ugliness, you know, I was praying like, oh, God, give me wisdom. Give me your words. Give me your eyes. Give me your heart. Because honestly, I was at a loss. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I was kind of like paralyzed. I wanted to listen, too. I didn't want it to be all about me and my feelings and my selfishness. I didn't want that to come through. I wanted authenticity to prevail. And I think that's what we saw and experienced, and that's what happened. And as a result, we were able to finish our day strong, lovingly, and, you know, we had a good time. There was laughter, there was, you know, great memories, but I think you're right. I mean, if we had stuffed our feelings and just put on our fake masks, I think the day would have gone totally differently.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love it when the Holy Spirit can just interject at the right time, saying the right things, and, you know, just being present. I felt the Holy Spirit just being present, because even in the most intense moments, you know, there was a calmness or a peace that that I felt, because it was meant to be. It wasn't pleasant, and the timing was way off, but it needed to happen.
Yeah.
There's never a good time to have a rich talk like that.
Yeah.
And each of you were, it was just amazing experience.
Yeah.
As ugly as it was, we watched each of us grow through that.
Yes.
So we are richer people now because of that experience and because of that exchange. So
absolutely. And you mentioned timing too. I'll share this story real quick. You know, Amber had to go to the bathroom on Belle Isle. If we weren't at Belle Isle that day, she had to go. And so we found this random building.
Yes.
And this guy was working in there. Mm-hmm. It was like the Detroit Belle Isle golf course. And he was like, well, the water's not really working. And then he lets us go in, and then we're like about to leave, right? But then something in me was saying, like, it was the Holy Spirit saying, like, man, like, just kind of talk to him. And so, long story short, they had a problem with their water system, like the water pressure. They had recently had a flood like 10, 12 days ago. And so for whatever reason, the Belle Isle infrastructure hasn't allowed them to have good water pressure, including when there's a flood. And so just felt led to pray for him, and that, you know, there's going to be, I pray for a flood of abundance of growth in your business and your family. And, you know, he was kind of speechless afterwards, and he was like, man, I've been praying for people and for their success. And he said this morning he was praying for somebody to pray for him. Mm-hmm. And that was all God's timing. Mm-hmm. And then he eventually, you know, prayed for me and Amber. And so mm-hmm. for that particular moment, what a wonderful God timing mm-hmm. thing. And he just, even when we left, he was just speechless, mm-hmm. you know. And there's just been so many problems in the city of Detroit, which is a whole nother conversation for another day. But they have to take care of Belle Isle. So shout out to the Detroit Belle Isle Golf Company. Do business there. Golf there. What a great organization. And Robert, man, that was timing right there.
Totally.
Along with us having a wonderful time celebrating you on Father's Day.
Yeah, I mean, God can use us any time, you know. Word says be seasoned, be ready in season and out of season.
Yes.
So at any point in time, we could be tapping like, hey, it's your turn, man. Get in there. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
You're gonna step up or fill in the gap, or are you just going to stay on the bench?
Yeah.
I choose to. Hashtag forward.
Hey, we got to get off this bench, man. We can't warm this bench.
No.
We got to get up and play.
We got to go.
We got to get in the game.
Ready to go.
Oh, fourth, that's a nice pillow.
Fourth quarter, baby. Fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter. So we're going to talk about some fun things real quick. But before we get into that, I just want to touch on one of the challenges you mentioned that you had to overcome. And I know how I've dealt with it my own way. But the divorce was, mm-hmm. I'll never forget it. I was in fifth grade, and it was one of the worst days of my life. It's up there with a few weeks ago, being in the ICU with Grandpa and seeing that him just being alert to passing, and then to hear about Lola.
Right.
And then what I went through my freshman year of college, and then, mm-hmm. you know, when I came back from Europe. Those are, like, probably the all-time top five, and I'll never forget that day. You know, those, but even though those are painful experiences, they're blessings in disguise because you grow through them. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that word grow. Mm-hmm. And so we were sitting down, and I always thought that, like, I didn't think there was any problem between you and Mom. I thought that you guys were going to be together, be a happy family forever. Mm-hmm. And so you sat us down saying we're getting a divorce. And it felt like a rug was swept underneath me. Everything I knew to be stable and to be right was just gone, just mm-hmm. like that. And so for me, I've had to deal with that in my own way. And we've had really good conversations throughout our life on talking through that, and there's been a lot of forgiveness there. Do you want to go more in depth about that and how maybe that pain for you and how you dealt with that and move forward and grow and grew through that? Mm-hmm. Because I know for me, I felt still super loved by you, that I had a father in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I feel like there's so many fatherlessness mm-hmm. going on in our world that results in huge, you know, huge issues. And the fact that you stuck around and you went to this church that we went to that mm-hmm. was like crazy, man. Like, we couldn't listen to Lecrae, man. Like,
right, couldn't dance.
Oh my gosh. And then, and you were always with us, even at Mom's house when she got remarried too. You were just there. And just the fact that you were there speaks volumes. And the fact that you and Mom were able to work each other, whatever differences you guys had, to just be there and support us. That helped me get to where I am today, to be the man mm-hmm. I am today, just to show that type of love. And so how did you deal with all that pain and still were able to be there?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a hard question to listen to, because it was the most darkest moments in my life, because I was in a deep depression, you know, suicidal thoughts, and to the point where I had to get some psychological help and ultimately or consequently getting on some medication, which made me numb, like, emotionally. Like, I remember going to Cedar Point, which is like an amusement park in Ohio, and you know how you go on a roller coaster and the roller coaster goes click 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 click.
Yeah.
A normal person with emotion would be like, oh man, I'm freaking out. No, I'd freak out because I'm afraid of heights.
Right.
But I was just sitting there, you know, like numb, like, this is nothing. And even going down the hill, yeah, I think it may have been, yeah. And I'm going down the hill and I'm like, ooh, wee. You know, it's like, instead of wee, you know, it's like, it oh, this is nice. It's so cool, nice. Man. So, yeah, I had a lot of self introspection and, you know, and a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, a few people stepped in and loved on me. So community is important. Number one, community was presented to me. Number two is that I had a look at myself and ask myself, you know, do I want my kids to carry on this legacy, which was like crap back then, or do I want them to live strong and have a fulfilling life and a healthy outlook and be like successful individuals and loving husbands and wives, you know? So, and I think the third thing too was like choosing to respect your mom again and forgive her and forgive myself. And I think once I did that, I was able to move forward, you know?
Yeah. That's powerful. You're powerful.
Oh, God's powerful, man.
Amen. Yes, he is. And so what would you say some of the biggest things you learned positively from that experience? And maybe something, because we all make mistakes, we're all not perfect. And you mentioned some of the mistakes that you learned from, because, you know, my passion, my goal is to be the best husband I can be to my bride. And I want to leave a legacy of a strong, successful marriage and to build that foundation. And so what are some advice that you can impart on myself as a man, as your son, and then also to anybody listening from some of the things that you learned from, mistakes, good, bad, anything that you would want to do differently now in your marriage, and then something that, you know, I could apply for my marriage and anybody listening marriages, or even in their relationships or whatever they're going through.
A few things come to my head. The first thing would be like, just be honest with yourself and not pretend to be someone you're not. Like, it's easy to say, oh, things are hunky-dory and, right, you know, things are going to be just fine. Instead, it's not fine because, you know, your marriage is falling apart or it has fallen apart. So the moment that I realized that I wasn't being honest with myself is when I was like, I'm lying to myself. I can't live like that. So accepting the fact that I wasn't honest with myself, I'm like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And realizing that helped me to forgive myself and forgive your mom and forgive other people who have hurt me, including my dad, you know, who hurt me emotionally and stuff. So, and secondly, I think obviously, you know, your relationship with Christ and your walk, you know, I started to delve into like deeper Bible studies and getting into men's groups and getting into more like a smaller community and not spread myself thin, because not everyone can take the bleeding, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, you can't share everything with everybody. Yes. Because they're not going to, they just don't have the capacity to understand and listen and be a safe place for you to bleed on them.
Right.
Because you're hurting and you're bleeding to death. So it was good to have that opportunity to just be myself and be open to a smaller community and a group of men who are very understanding and loving and come alongside me to help me with my walk.
And trying to remember the third thing. I wanted you kids to understand what healthy looked like, even though it was a broken relationship. I did everything I could to protect you, so that, you know, like our experience at Berean, I knew things weren't preached the way Jesus would preach it. You know, it was tainted by men's opinions and whatever. So when I would have you over the weekend, you know, I would challenge you like, hey, what'd you think of that sermon? You know, so that was an opportunity for you to be introspective and discover God for yourself.
Right.
And come up with, you know, like, you know, even challenge that pastor's doctrine, you know. So, you know, I wanted you guys to have a point of view that was, in my opinion, based on truth and not opinion. Mm-hmm. So, and I wanted you guys to see that.
It's good. And then also, too, there's a lot of temptation and, you know, for all the men listening, from what you went through and what you, you know, what you learned from what happened, what's something that you did to improve on the temptation? I know that I remember, like, mom, when we were little, like, she would flip the magazine covers.
Bounce your eyes.
At the grocery store, yeah. Right. And so what's something that you've done practically to help in that area?
So you're probably speaking specifically to pornography and sexual temptation, and most men, if you're men, you will fall into temptation and look at another woman with lust. I mean, it's an age-old problem, you know, even with David.
Yeah.
Man after God's own heart. That was, he was labeled as a man after God's own heart, but committed adultery and committed murder as a result of it. So what I did was, you know, get real with myself and get with a group of men who were I trusted, and we just prayed and talked, you know, and just decided that, you know, this wasn't going to be, you know, part of my life anymore. And, you know, and I have to bounce my eyes. You know, my wife and I were in Florida recently, you know, and bikinis these days are not bikinis. You might as well be walking around naked. So, you know, bouncing my eyes, if you're not familiar with that term, it's like if you see something that's tempting, you just kind of look away. Yeah, you just bounce off. Pew, 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 pew. So, yeah. Get with a group of men that you trust and just pour your heart out, man.
Yeah.
There's no judgment. There's no shame or guilt, you know. Totally opposite. There's community of people who will come alongside you and love on you.
So the key is having that lion pack.
Lion pack, yeah.
Detroit Lions.
Hear the lion roar, yep. Lion of Judah.
And I've had to catch myself too in bouncing my eyes. That's such a good strategy. I read this book, Every Young Man's Battle. If you haven't read it, I would really encourage you. Every Man's Battle. Such practical tools and how to, you know, practically fight temptation as a man in today's day and age. And, you know, I struggled with that in college and after that. And I knew I didn't want any part of that in our marriage. And so the only way I know practically how to do that is I would leave my phone sometimes. I'll leave my phone outside of our bedroom, you know, like whatever thing I'm scrolling on, I don't want that to enter what's sacred. And then, you know, just finding practical things, like little things that'll help keep me and my mind focused on my bride. And so, yeah, that's good. I thank you for sharing that. And it's something that I think needs to be addressed, and especially in the church, that, you know, they shy away from it. But straight up, like, temptation is real, and there's an enemy out for men. There's an enemy out for a spiritual battle to take away the men of God who want to step up and lead their homes, lead their families, lead this nation, and lead this world the right way. And so we need to be like, yo, everybody out here who struggles with this, you're not alone, but keep fighting the good fight, because you can win with Christ at the center, and put on that armor of God every day, armor up, and let's fight it together. And you mentioned something so good practically too about gathering with other men as well to talk through this and work through it together, mm-hmm. that as a team unit can fight any single temptation that comes our way. There's not any temptation that God will give us that we cannot handle.
Amen. That's right. Scripture memory really, really helps, because when the scripture that you just mentioned, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, but when you are tempted, he'll provide a way out so that you can stand up from under it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So yeah, God knows your limits, and when you turn to him and just cry to him and totally surrender to him, he shows up every time, man. Yes. So don't be afraid to speak up and expose your heart.
Man, thank you for just being here, mm-hmm. being present all the way through life until now. So now we're going to have a little bit of fun. You ready for that?
Sure. All right,
let's put on, so we're repping Detroit. We're going to put on our Detroit hats to represent, because you know, Detroit versus everybody, best city of all time, in my humble opinion. So this segment is called, Are You For Real? So I'm asking four very quick questions at speed round.
Okay.
And, okay. So are you prepared to go up this? We've been on this drive. Now we're on this roller coaster. Now we can have some fun going down it. Is it going to be like, yay? Or is it going to be like, what? It's going to be what? All right, sweet. So this very first question, this segment is called, Are You For Real?
I'm for real.
All right, we're for real. Four questions. First question, boom, what's the craziest thing that you've ever eaten?
Oh, it's called balut. It is a duck embryo. It's a Philippine delicacy. You crack it open, and there's a real duck embryo with feathers,
it's real.
Eyeballs, beak looking at you.
Oh my gosh. So you know, my wife's Filipina, Amber, your daughter-in-law, you know this, I've told you this. We were all in the garage at her Christmas Eve, and everyone was like, oh, you haven't eaten balut? I'm like, no. So they all gathered around, watched me eat balut. Oh my goodness, man, that was a crazy experience.
It was a crazy experience, but when you grow up with it, it's not that it's crazy.
It's not, it's our culture, being Filipino.
It's on TV, and they think it's like the worst thing they've ever eaten.
Tastes like chicken.
It tastes like chicken.
All right. Are you for real? Number two, what is your favorite music?
Oh, man. I would say like 80s. It's quite diverse and wide range. Christian music, opera, classical music. You know, indie pop, jazz, blues, and it's all over the place.
I remember listening to like theater soundtrack, like Les Mis, Phantom of the musicals, Opera in the car.
Musicals, operas, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, try to make you guys exposed to different cultures and tastes in music, so.
Yeah, that's good. Number three, are you for real?
I'm for real.
What is the best fast food French fry of all time?
Oh boy. There's this place in, man, that's a good one. I would say Vincetta Garage has the seasoned fries. Mm-hmm. It's got a little parmesan, a little oregano. It's got a little something. I think it's parmesan that makes it special. Mm. So, yeah.
Nice.
Set a garage in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Shout out.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Are you for real? Number four.
Four.
Get it?
Four. Four. Real.
If you could have dinner or lunch or coffee with anyone, history, past, present,
future.
Man, who would it be and why?
Oh, man, that's deep. That's deep.
That's what we do.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to hang out with Jesus, but I got eternity with him.
Right.
So he'll get sick of me. That's a good one, man. I don't know. I don't know. I have to get back to you on that. I don't know.
Like if you were to...
How about you? Who's your number four real?
Oh.
I'm going to turn back on you.
Okay.
Who's your for real?
I like that. Martin Luther King Jr.
MLK. Oh, that's a good candidate.
Yep. Yeah.
Why Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, first of all, the man led with servant leadership. Mm. He led peacefully. Mm-hmm. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, that was his guiding light in how to lead. Mm-hmm. And in a time of turbulence, when the whole nation seemed to be against his race, he stayed the course. He was in jail. Mm. Like those... like in Bible times, right, who are following Christ but yet still stayed faithful and led a movement. Mm-hmm. That made true change and was historic, obviously, in our country. And I would just love to just chop it up with him and pick his brain and to see how he got through those crazy times. And, you know, for Amber and I to have a double date with him and Coretta. Mm. And how they, you know, did their marriage right. And, mm-hmm. you know, I would want to share a dirty chai latte with MLK.
Nice.
In today's day, in Detroit.
What do you think he would drink?
He'd probably be a...
espresso man. Is he an espresso man?
Maybe an Americano. We'd be in a suit. Oh, like, yeah. Like a fitted suit together. He'll have his top hat on.
The Rat Pack.
I'll have my Jordans on.
Yes. Oh, you got to have your Jordans on.
Yeah. I think that would be a great picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
Skinny ties and everything.
Yeah. And also... winning the Keeper of the Dream in college. Mm. And promoting interracial understanding on campus. That's something that I think needs to be talked about, even in, you know, especially what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to talk to him about what he thinks about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool. Sure.
So have you thought of somebody?
Yeah, someone came to mind. It would be like Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. She has such a sweet kindred spirit. I'm like, okay, you're such a tiny woman. You're so soft-spoken, but the impact that you left and just the waves you've created, how'd you do it, you know? Mm-hmm. That would be cool to just, you know, spend some time with her and just, like, chill and maybe have a ribeye steak with her or something with garlic potatoes and, you know,
yeah,
maybe some wine.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Just so... chop it up with her.
What kind of wine?
Oh, I don't know, man. Meiomi, you know, a little Meiomi Pinot.
Yeah.
A little red.
Nice. I remember Barry Sanders. Remember that?
I do.
You want to tell that story? I was in the hospital recovering.
Yes. So Charlie was in the hospital. He had a cyst in his thyroid right here. You could see he had a couple operations. But it was a cyst, it was benign, and he was hospitalized overnight. And we visited you, Mom and I visited you, and I happened to glance over at the room across the hall and did one of these double takes, and I'm like, man, that's Barry Sanders. So, you know, I look over Charlie, hey, Charlie, Barry Sanders is across the hallway. And, you know, I'm looking over, and he was about to leave the room. Mm-hmm. So as he was leaving the room, I kind of followed him. I'm like, Mr. Sanders. So I ran out the room where you were staying. And, you know, he was walking down a hallway with a couple of dudes. And I'm like, Mr. Sanders, can you say hi to my son? And these dudes must have been his agents or whatever. Like, oh, I don't have time. And Barry was like, turn around. No, I want to see him.
Wow.
And he walks in, you know, kind of meek and, you know, gently says, you know, he's a gentle man, powerful man.
Yeah.
I mean, I went like this on his shoulder, just about broke my hand. He was solid, man. He was like, man, you ran over a lot of people. You know, you got to be solid like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he visited you. You took the time to say hi and signed a napkin that we had. And I remember your face. You were just like deer in headlight. like for the longest time. That's all you did was just look at him, like starstruck.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that.
What? That's Barry Sanders. No way. Where's your uniform? Where's your helmet?
Yeah.
Where's the football? So yeah, that was cool.
That was a fun moment. I'd like put a goatee on, trying to be Charlie Batch, going to school with a goatee on. So to have Barry Sanders
magic
walk in,
marker, you know, with a Sharpie.
I love that.
Permanent marker.
Yeah. I love that story because it shows who you are, you know, too, just to fight for me. And, you know, even though there were security guards, you were like, no, let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so that was a wonderful experience for me. And speaking of the Lions, we're going to win the Super Bowl one day, right?
I'm going to say 2025.
All right. Calling it. I'm going to say 2021. Next year.
Next year. All right, buy me tickets.
Let's go.
Get me on the sideline with your media passes.
Got you. And what's your dream right now?
My dream is to finish strong. First half, you know, I did okay. I went through halftime. Now I want to finish strong. Whatever that looks like, I'm open to God's will for my life.
Amen.
I just want to be where I am needed by him. So I want to fill the gaps wherever they are. I know that's kind of like wide open, so that's one thing I'm praying about now, is just to narrow down the focus.
Well, God has amazing plans in store for you. The best is yet to come.
It always is. I mean, the best is here now with a wonderful wife who just loves me for who I am and encourages me to hashtag forward.
Hashtag forward.
Hashtag forward. I mean, I can't stand still anymore.
Yes.
So.
And as we're driving through this podcast, we're going to keep going and finish the race strong.
Yes.
I just want to, you know, as we park this thing, but keep going after this episode to finish your race strong, just pray it out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cool?
Yes, sir.
Of course. Thank you, God, for my dad. Continue to bless him, watch over him, and guide him. And may all of his wildest dreams come true and pave the way in this road that you've set him on, in this narrow road to be a light for you and use all of his skills and talents for your kingdom, Lord, and just use him in mighty ways for you. Thank you for my dad. And for this fatherhood, and just an example you set for me as a man to look up to, and just pray you continue to watch over him and bless him, and may he run this race and finish it strong.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you, Dad.
Love you too,
thank you so much for being my guest. Everybody, give it up for the one, the only Gilbert Cocatis Lapazora. He's off the bench. He's in the game. He's in the starting lineup. The world better watch out for Papa Lapa. 4-3. All right, that's a wrap. This has been Authentically. I'm your host, Charlie. This is my wonderful dad. All right, it's time to keep going on this drive of life. You ready?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Up on the pedal.
Hey.
Pedal to the metal.